Merry Christmas. Happy holiday.
Merry Christmas.
You know we had to have something good for Christmas time, don't you? All right. Kicking off a new series this morning we're going to do for the next couple of weeks called It Is Christmas Time. It is Christmas Time. We just finished 21 weeks of studying who is the Father, who is the Holy Spirit, who is the Son. We've been talking about some basic things about who the Son was and who the Father was and who the Holy Spirit was. And so for the next couple of weeks as we enter into this Christmas season, I want to talk to you about the thought, it's Christmas time. It is Christmas time. And we know that's very evident. We can't drive down the street without seeing decorations everywhere. We've been hearing Christmas music before Thanksgiving in every department store we went into, you know, and so Christmas time is here once again, and we know it can be either a time of very anticipation for some people, maybe a time of not wanting to face Christmas, but whatever it is, Christmas time is here whether we like it or not. It's here, and it is a time of celebration. It's a time of worship. It's a time of Thanksgiving. And today we want to talk about that thought. I want to talk to you about this thought. And some of you may be complexed by it. It says, but Christmas time is what? Christmas is a time for Thanksgiving. Christmas is a time for Thanksgiving. Now, some of you are thinking already right now, I can already see your wheels turning, Pastor. Thanksgiving is already past. Shouldn't you preach just 2 weeks ago then, before Thanksgiving? We'll get to that in just a little bit, and we'll talk more about that. But I want to talk to you about this thought that Christmas time is for Thanksgiving. You know, it's something that we found that's being studied throughout the world, and even now all of the top doctors and are coming to us, and researchers at U.S. Davis, Kentucky, University of Kentucky have even talked about this, and others have come out with studies clarifying that the most people who live to be at the top percentage of their age bracket. Now, you know, different areas of the country have, of the nation, so some places live longer than others, average year lifespan. Different places around the world are different. But according to their diet and what they do, of course, those things come into place, and we see the climate they live in. But at the top of all those studies, at the top of every part of those countries, they see the people who live the longest, they found out these people who are people who live with a heart of gratitude, a heart of Thanksgiving. They had this study, and doctors are saying this. The people who live with a heart of gratitude, people who live with a heart of Thanksgiving, are people who actually are living longer. And what is happening, this is research and science is catching up with what the Bible has told us all along, that we will live longer and we'll have what? We'll live to a fullest. That God wants us to have a full life, and that God says, I'm going to promise you this life in abundance, but it comes with a heart of Thanksgiving. It comes with a heart of Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving should be a part of everything that we do. Everything good, Thanksgiving, and everything is good for you. It's a different voice, a secular voice that's saying this, but something the Bible's been saying for a long time. Thanksgiving is so beneficial in our lives. There's going to be events that are going to take place in our life, of yours and mine, that we cannot control. Things that are out of our control that either devastate us and even times bring us to our knees and drop us to our face. But things are out of our control, but one thing we can control is a heart of Thanksgiving. We can control how we deal with things. We can control this. Look what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says. It says, be anxious for nothing. What anxious means means don't be nervous about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. We know today that this is the recipe. This is the one ingredient we find that comes to living this life, that Thanksgiving is a prerequisite, that we must have a heart of Thanksgiving. If we have a heart of Thanksgiving, it says that the peace of God will what? Rule our life. How many today want the peace of God to rule your life? If you got five kids in your home, you want the peace of God to rule your life. I'll tell you that right now. That we need the peace of God to rule our lives. And for many of us here, we allow everything else to rule our lives, the state of the economy. Are we going to have enough money this Christmas? Are our kids going to be able to do this? Are we going to do this? Are we going to make it through? Are we going to face another Christmas? We've gone through things in our life, and we have tough things happening right now, this season, things we don't want to face. Christmas brings up bad memories. Things that happen, and all of us have different things and all these emotions going on. And if we're not careful, those things, if we allow them, will dictate to you how you celebrate Christmas. And so the thing that the Bible is saying is that we must have a heart of Thanksgiving. And a heart of Thanksgiving leads to what? The peace of God would rule my life. And so when I say, God, I'm going to thank you no matter what. That God, I'm going to praise you no matter what. That God, I'm going to worship you no matter what I go through in my life. I'm saying, God, the peace of God is ruling my life. Does it mean I won't go through a storm like we just sung about last song? Does it mean I won't have storms in my life? No. But it means through the storm that I feel God's peace. It means through my darkest hour, when I can't see the light, I feel God's peace in my life. That's the hope we have as Christians. That's the hope we have. And how do we receive that? When we step into the place of thanksgiving. And what better time of the year, what more time of the year should we be thankful than during Christmas season? That we are thankful for the Son, Jesus Christ, who was sent to you and I, the peace giver, the Redeemer, our healer. He was sent to us. We have a lot to be thankful for. So many things to be thankful for. And if we're not careful, we focus just on the negative. Aren't we good at that? We'll take the couple things or the one thing or the one big thing. We put all of our attention on that, and our whole life surrounds around this, and we miss everything else that God has for us. We miss all the other blessings that God has for us. And what our darkest hour could turn into our best triumph. That God wants to do something in our life if we'll enter into this place of thanksgiving. Gratefulness and thanksgiving is the one seasoning that must be tasted in everything that we do. Everything we do must be full, as Christians, must be full of a heart of thanksgiving. Have you ever been around ungrateful people? I remember one time I was flying out right after church. I had to speak at a conference, and so I had to leave as soon as church was over. And so I didn't have time to grab any lunch. I just got down to the airport. I won't tell you how fast I was going, but I got there, you know, barely got in, checked my bags. And you know what? For the first time in a long time, I was looking forward to a box lunch on an airplane. How many know what I'm talking about? It's not always, nowadays you know how to get them, but when you do get them, sometimes they're not always the best thing. But I remember that day I was so hungry. I was like, this is whatever they give me. I am so going to be so thankful. And I was so ready to eat this box lunch. And it came and I opened it up and I was like, oh, this smells so good. And the lady next to me, she kind of goes, don't you hate these things? And she opened it up. What is this? I'm like, I think it's potatoes. And I'm just, you know, slapping it up. It's good, isn't it? She's like, oh, I can't stand these potatoes they bring here. And what is this sandwich? Is this, I think it's chicken sandwich. Oh, it's processed chicken. Oh, what is that? Is it processed chicken? Or is it real chicken? I'm like, I don't care. It tastes good. I'm starving. I was so thankful. And she's like, oh, I just can't stand this food and these crackers. And she called, what do you have? And she called and asked for a certain kind of wine. And they didn't have the kind of wine she wanted. She's like, oh, what kind of flight is this? You know, I'm like, only me would get sitting next to somebody like that. You know, I'm like, lady, I don't care. Can I have your lunch? If you don't want it, I'll take it because I am thankful. I'm thankful for that lunch. You know, it's perspective, and we have to live our life in this attitude of gratitude. You know, when we're without, it really opens up, doesn't it? When we're without, when you're hungry, man, you're thankful for that can of green beans in your, how many guys, you know, going through college, man, I swore I'd never need another ramen noodle before in my life. But the other night, I was so hungry, and there was no one up, and you know what? I know how to cook ramen noodles from college experience, and so I grabbed out found an old package in the back somewhere in the cabin. I pulled them out. Those were the best ramen noodles I had in a long time. You know, it's something about the attitude in my heart that was different because I was willing and I was hungry. There's something about being hungry that makes you appreciate the things that you have. You know, God is wanting you and I to have this hunger for Him, and a hunger for Him that passes all hunger for anything else in our life. And how do we do that? We do that by entering into this attitude of gratitude. That we enter into a thanksgiving season in our life, and it's not just a season, but it's a year-round attitude that we should have as Christians. Look what Colossians 3:16 says. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with what? Thankfulness. Singing with what? Thankfulness in your hearts to God. That we are called not only to admonish each other, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, only to worship in songs. That's what we're talking about. What we did today, we're worshiping the Lord in songs. But we're also called to do what? We're called to do it with thankfulness in our heart. It's something that God is asking you and I to do, that we rich, God's word, look what it says. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom teaching. Now, how many want that wisdom to come alive in your heart? I want God's word to come alive in my heart. I want God's wisdom to be evident in my decisions. I want to walk in the wisdom that comes from above. How do I do that? He says, when I what? When I learned to sing and I learned to have a heart of thanksgiving, full of thankfulness in my heart, it opens up the Word of God to come alive in my life. There's something. It's the key. It's this common denominator we can find, that walking this life with an attitude of gratitude, walking this life with a thanksgiving in our heart for what we have, quit focusing on the problem and begin to focus on the solution. Quit focusing on the thing that I'm going through, the pain, and look to the one who heals my heart. It's God. I tell you what, we focus on our problem. I don't care how big that thing is. It may be a very small thing, but you stare at it long enough, and how many know it grows and it grows? You stare at that one small thing long enough, and it grows and it grows and grows. And so I know this, that if I concentrate on my problems so much, that they're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon they're going to overwhelm me. And I'm going to feel like I'm in a panic attack all the time. I'm going to feel like I'm nervous. And I'm not called to walk my life in fear. I'm not called to walk my life being nervous all the time. God says you walk with an attitude of gratitude. You walk in this Thanksgiving season in your life. And in that, the peace of God will rule you. See, that's the difference between walking around always worried and saying, you know what, I'm going to walk around. I'm just going to learn to be thankful for the things I do have. I'm going to learn to be thankful for the things that God has given me. I'm going to learn to be thankful for the things I had. Maybe they're not here now. Maybe that thing got taken away from me. Maybe I lost that job. But God, I thank you I had a job. And God, I'm thankful now that I'm going to have one ahead. And it's going to be better than the one I had before. I am walking in the attitude of gratitude. Thanksgiving comes before Christmas. How many knows that? Thanksgiving's when? What month is Thanksgiving in? November. Christmas is in December. So this is pretty easy to figure out. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking, God, this in my own way, I wonder, did you have a plan in that? Was you really trying to teach us something in this? That Thanksgiving always comes before Christmas. I began to think about that again. Thanksgiving always comes before Christmas. And I wonder in our heart if this is the place that God's really want us to be, that we learn to be thankful before. And see that many of us here, we've been taught, most of us for the most part, if you were raised in a home, you were taught to be thankful for things you had, didn't you? Parents always teach, be thankful for what you had. You're going to eat that now. There's kids who don't have that now to eat. And, you know, all these things. And we're always taught, when someone does something nice for you, what do you say? Thank you, you know. We're taught, we teach our kids how to say thank you. And we be appreciative of things that happen nice to them. And people are nice to them. But how many times does my kids ever come to me and I punished them? Dad, thank you. That was the best spanking I ever got in my life. I know one day, right now I don't appreciate it, but one day when I'm about 25, I'm going to appreciate that you're so tough on me and you made me. My kids don't do that, do they? But how would our attitude change? And that's fine for immature children. But how many of us live our life that way now, that we go through things in our life and we don't understand? And I wonder how many of us would learn to come back and say, God, I'm going to thank you on this side. I'm going to thank you before the blessing. I'm going to thank you, God, even though I know I don't know where my next job's coming from, I'm thanking you, God, that you're in control of my life. God, I don't know where the thing's going to come from tomorrow, that the need that I have. I don't know where the answer's coming from. But, God, I know that you are in control of my life. And, God, I'm going to thank you in advance for what I already have. I'm going to thank you for what you've already done in my life. And, God, I'm just thanking you because, God, I know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And I'm going to walk in this attitude of thankfulness. Thanksgiving comes before Christmas. You know, our kids, many times, you know, I walk through the house and maybe the game's on. We're watching a game and my sons will say, Dad, I bet you were just playing, we'd probably win the game, wouldn't you? If you were still playing for that team, we was watching on TV, they'd probably be winning, wouldn't you? You know what I say to them? Absolutely, you're right, 100%. My youngest son, he's found a collection that I bought for my older boys a long time ago. He's found this collection of Hulk Hogan, the best of Hulk Hogan, you know, wrestling matches. And he's been watching them, and I'll walk in his room. He's in there, you know, just, he's acting them out. He's listening to it, and he's really into it, you know. He's doing this number right here, and he's just really all into it. And he'll walk in and say, Dad, you could beat Hulk Hogan, couldn't you? Dad, you could body slam Andre the Giant, couldn't you? You know what I say? Exactly. You got it right. My kids come in the garage, and I'm out there working. They bring their bikes to me. I don't matter what's wrong with it. They think, my dad can fix anything. It's just something about these kids. They think, my dad can beat anybody up. My dad can play any sport. My dad can do it. My dad can fix anything. You know, as they get older, they realize we're not that good. But they still, yeah, they think at this age that we can do it all. And it's, there's something about that in our heart. I believe that God wants us to have that same principle when it comes to our Heavenly Father, that we should have that same principle. We walk around, you know what? My God can fix anything. My God can fix anything. My God can do anything. My God can supply anything. My God can take care of any battle I go through. My God can take care of anything I face tomorrow. My God can take... Our kids know this, and God has made us in their image. And we're made in His image. Listen, we know this, that God is wanting you and I to have that same trust. And the good thing is that our God's not like me. He never fails. My God's not like me. He'll never leave them or disappoint them. He'll never do anything to let us down. He will always be there. And so God is wanting you and I to be thankful in advance and to bring us into our life. Often our thankfulness is determined by whether or not the event was good or bad. If it's good, we're thankful. If it's pretty lame, well, anybody can do that. God is saying that the ingredient of heaven that changes the mediocre to a miracle is a thankful heart. Watch this. My Father can do anything. That all heaven is set into motion. He is moved by our faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to what? To please the Lord. How do we increase and develop that kind of heart? That's where we want to be. How do we increase this faith in our life of thankfulness? How do we increase this place of coming with thanksgiving? It's before Christmas. How do we come and get to this thankful heart and walk in it? Quickly, let me give you three things. Number one, we have to live a heart chosen with humility. A chosen humility in our heart. Most of the time, there's a forced humility, isn't there, in our life? I mean, all of us have been humbled at one time or another in our life. We've all went through things that really humbled us. And what forces us to humble us? It's usually a forced humility, isn't it? Something happened. We lost a job or a health crisis came. Something happened and it forced us to humble ourselves. And what God is wanting us to do is to learn to be humble before we have to be humble. Because God says pride cometh what? Before the fall. So God is wanting you and I to learn to walk in an attitude of thanksgiving. And the attitude of thanksgiving is what? It's a humility. That God, that you are bigger than anything I can go through in my life. That God, yes, you've blessed me with a lot. And God, I'm thankful. But God, it all belongs to you. God, I am nothing without you. Without your hand, I wouldn't be here. Without your hand, I wouldn't have this. God, without your hand, it's an attitude of gratitude. It's a chosen humility. I don't wait to be humbled. I want to humble myself now, and I choose to do that right now. Why is that important? It's very important. I see people all the time. I've met people in ministry over several years, and they'll get sick, and they'll be on their deathbed, and you'll go to the hospital. And they can be some big old burly man, you know what I'm talking about. And they're going, they're in the deathbed in the hospital. And many of these guys are big teddy bears. Just there crying. And they want to hug everybody. And I'm sorry, I acted just a jerk. I'm going to be better. You know, if God will ever get me out of here. And then 6 months later, they're doing much better. And they get back to home. And what happens? They're back to being their same grouchy self. Why is that? Because it's the crisis that pushed them to humility. It was they didn't choose that humility. It has happened because they found themselves fat on their back in a hospital bed. But God's wanting you and I to learn to have that attitude right now. Right now, God is, you know what? I don't want God to have to put me on my back in a hospital bed before I realize that, you know what? There's other things in life more important than the things I'm worrying about. There's things I need to learn to do in my life that are more important. So God is asking us to choose humility now. Why is this important? Because I believe it moves the heart of God. Let's look at the scripture. Look at Christ's example. Philippians 2, 6 and 8. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. We're talking about Jesus. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled, who did? The stomach of Christ. Christ humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. I say this to you right now, that when there's two things that we do in our life that really move the heart of God. Number one, forgiveness really moves the heart of God because he forgave us. But another thing that really moves the heart of God is this, that when we voluntarily humble ourselves, we're becoming more like him. That he voluntarily humbled himself to obedience of God, came down here from heaven, left heaven and became a man on earth, and voluntarily gave up his life. He voluntarily humbled himself. And so when I voluntarily will humble myself here now, it moves the heart of God, because we become the closest to being like Christ. That's the closest we can become, is when we learn to walk in forgiveness and walk in humility. He walked in humility. Think about this Christmas season as we celebrate his birth all month long, that we see and realize, wow, our God came, left heaven, and walked here on earth, was born. We're celebrating the birth of our Christ. He voluntarily left heaven to come be here on earth. He voluntarily took on the image of a man and became fully man, yet still fully God. He voluntarily suffered and died. He voluntarily went through the cross to the point of even death. We know this is something that he did. He chose to do it. It's a voluntary thing. Look what 1 Peter 5 and 6 says. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. I tell you this, I've tried to exalt myself at times, and it never works. You ever done that? Try to exalt yourself. It never works. I'd much rather have God exalt me than man exalt me. I would much rather have God exalt me than man exalt me any day. And God says this, if we will humble ourselves, if we'll choose to walk in humility, if it's a chosen humility, if we choose to walk in humility, he says this, that I will exalt you in due time. In the proper time, I will exalt you. And we've seen it happen over and over and over again. From Joseph, the pit, to the prison, to the palace. And one day, after many years in the pit and the prison, and one day God says, you're going to the palace. When God wants to exalt you, it can happen. And when God exalts you, it's much better than you could ever do on your own. And so I've got to choose to be humble. I've got to choose to walk in humility now. The second thing we look at is an intentional giving. Most giving, number two, most giving we do is, the most giving people in the world I've ever met are people who don't have a lot. You know what? That people around the world, they look at us and they think, you know what? We're pretty rich. They really do. We look at each other and we don't think we're very rich still. We think we're struggling. But people around the world, other countries, they look at us and they think we're pretty rich when it comes to material things. But as I travel and visit different countries, I realize that we're maybe very rich materially, we're very lacking when it comes to a spirit of thankfulness. That you walk into someone's home who just got a mud floor and maybe got a couple pieces of tin around their building, and you walk into that home and it's spotless. You see a couple of dolls hanging on the wall that I never played with, or that were handed down from someone who sent it on a missionary trip, and some little girl gave it out of her toy box. It was broken, and they got it hanging on the wall as a prized possession, never to bring down to play with because it's too much prized possession to play with. You walk in and they hand you a ring off their finger, something they probably had for many years, probably the most prized possession. They want to give it to you and bless you. It's something about that, it just humbles you. You see that and you realize that God is moved with intentional giving, and that God isn't moved with our what we have and what we don't have. He's moved with the heart of giving. It's really what moves the Lord. He's moved with the heart of giving. Christ so loved the world that he what? God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. He gave. It's the very core of John 3:16 that God gave. And God is moved and wants us to walk in a spirit of thanksgiving when we learn to give intentionally. How many know we give unintentionally all the time? You know, we don't want to have to give and pay our bills, but we do it, you know, and we don't want to have to do a lot of things, we do it. But what really moves the Lord is when we don't have to do it and we do it anyway. When the law says we don't have to do this, but we do it anyway, when we give and help out, that moves the heart of God. Look what 1 Timothy 6:17 says. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited. I think he'd be talking to us here in America, couldn't he? Instruct those in America in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Isn't that so true? We fix our hope on the economy. It's up and down. So don't fix your hope on the economy, the uncertainty of riches. But who? On God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. That today we know this, that we have to learn to give. Giving is what moves the heart of God. Giving what, Pastor? We talking about our money? Yes. giving our money moves the heart of God. When we give our tithe and our offering, that blesses the Lord. When we support missionaries, that moves the heart of God. When we give time, our time, that moves the heart of God. God knows you're busy, and when you take time out to help somebody else out, and to give, when you give love to those who are unlovable, and you give kindness to those nobody's being kind to, and you give attention to those no one's paying attention. It's the giving. This giving. In this Christmas season, we open up like no other time. I mean, this is the time that those people who are Christians, and even people who are non-Christians, something about the season opens up the heart to give. We'll give in that red bucket, and the bell's ringing. We'll buy an angel tree, and we'll buy a gift off there and give somebody. We'll help serve a hot meal. We'll go rake some leaves. We'll do all kinds of things that happen for people. We want to show kindness. But God is saying that this is what moves me all year long. That Thanksgiving always comes before Christmas. And learning to give, it's the heart of giving, that intentional giving that moves God's heart. Quick, let me go to the last thing, number three. It's a decision to be thankful. A decision to be thankful. Remember that life is made up, I've read the statistic before, I'm going to read it to you again. The life is made up of 10% of what happens. Our life is made up of 10% of what happens. And 90% of what we make of it is what happens to us. 10% we can't control. The other 90% we can control. And we allow that 10% of things that happen to us, whether they're good or bad, to affect the other 90%. And so I can't control this 10%. So right now, you and I need to realize right now there's just 10% of the things in our life I just can't control. I can't control these bad things that happen to me. I can't control these things. They're out of my control. What I can control is how I respond to them. What I can control is how I react to them. What I can control is my spirit during it, my spirit before it, my spirit after. And that I've got to learn that walking in thanksgiving means that I'm going to praise God no matter what I go through. No matter what that 10% looks like, that God, I'm going to praise you. No matter what I face, that God, I'm going to praise you. The heart of thanksgiving is what moves God. I read a true story about a man who was having dandelions just growing crazy in his yard. And so he wrote to the county and to the agriculture department there in his county and said, hey, I'm having problems with dandelions. They're overtaking my yard, and I just can't seem to get rid of them. So they wrote back and said, you need to try this certain kind of weed and feed, and when you use this weed and feed, spread it throughout your lawn, and it'll kill them all off, and your grass will grow nice and green. And so he tried that, and he wrote back, it didn't work. They're still growing, as full as ever. And so he said, well, you need to try a certain chemical, and they gave him a certain name of this chemical. Use this chemical and put it all over your yard, and surely this will kill it all off. He wrote back and said, it didn't work, and they named one other thing. He gave him three things to try, and after the third time, he wrote back and said, not only did it not work, but the dandelions are growing even richer than they ever had before. It's like I'm just feeding them, and they just keep growing and growing and growing. And when I try to kill them off, it's like they're feeding off that poison, and they're still just growing as big and spreading out through everywhere. And so the agriculture department wrote back and said, since you have tried everything and nothing else works, we suggest that you now begin to enjoy dandelions. You know, sometimes in our life, we just got to learn to enjoy what God has given us, man, what we're having to walk through. It may be something we don't like, maybe something we want to get rid of. But at some point, we say, God, I'm going to learn to see you for who you are. I'm going to learn to trust you for who you are. I'm going to learn to give you thanks in everything. We just read that a little bit ago. Let's read it again in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say for everything, does it? Because I don't want to give thanks for everything. There's some things I'm not thankful for. But God has not called you to be thankful for everything. He says to be thankful in everything. Big difference. I may not like what I'm going through right now in my life, but God says, you may not like it, and you don't have to even be thankful for it, but you be thankful in it. How do we do that? We say, God, no matter what I'm going through in my life, God, I'm giving you praise. God, no matter what I go through my life, I'm going to know that you are in control of my life. That God, no matter what I face, no matter what way I feel, no matter the storm that's going on in my life, that God, in this, I'm still going to learn to praise you. Even in my darkest hour, God, I'm going to learn to find the praise in my heart. Even when I feel like my world is closing in, that God, I'm still learning to worship you. That God, it's when I am not feeling like it the most, that God, you carry me. It's when I feel you the most. Many times, it's when I feel like I'm so far away. It's when I'm really that close. It's in those things that I learn to give thanksgiving. It's in those things that I learn that this heart of thanksgiving moves God. We need to think of ways to retain and maintain and develop a thankful heart. I had a friend who pastors a very large church, and he told a story one time. I really liked the story. He talked about when he was in ninth grade, and when he was just a young boy, his father abandoned their home, and he was raised without a father. And so he really didn't have much of an example about hard work and working for a living and things like that. And when he's in ninth grade, his neighbor came to him. They live out in the country, and his neighbor came to him and said, "Hey," he was 89 years old. He says, "I'm just getting too old. I can't chop all this wood, and I've got to have a certain amount of wood set up for the wintertime so I can keep my stove going and I can keep the house warm." He goes, "I'll hire you, and I'll teach you how to cut this wood up, and I want you to cut up so many rick of wood, and I'll have it all set up, and I'll tell you what I want. I want you to get this done all summer long, and at the end of the summer, I'll pay you." And so this man took this ninth grade boy out, and he taught him how to drive his tractor, how to drive that tractor and how to use the chainsaw. He taught him how to use a chainsaw, and he taught him how to file the chainsaw, taught him how to oil the chainsaw, taught him how to cut a tree where it'll fall exactly where you need it to fall and not to put yourself in danger, and how you can make it, if you cut it just right, it'll fall exactly where you want it to fall. And he taught him how to split the wood and how to use a sledgehammer to cut wood with a wedge. And he showed him how to do things that he never learned before, and told him how to stack it, and drag it up the mountain in the tractor, and taught him hard work. So this young man learned all these things. And he worked 2.5 months, and he stacked all this wood up this man had asked him to do. At the end of summer, he had done his job, and the old man says, "It's payday. Let's go to the bank." And so excited about his payday, as any ninth grade would be, he went to the bank, and that old man got out his checkbook. He said, "I'm going to open this young man's account up." He said, "Here it comes. Here it comes. I'm so excited." He was so excited. "Here it comes, man. I'm going to buy me a new car when he's dead. I'm 16. He just, his mind was going, you know. And the old man said, "I want to open this young man up a checking account." He goes, "I'm going to put $20 in it right now." True story. The man paid him $20 for all summer's work. He said, "I went home and I cried my eyes out. I was ninth grade and I went home and cried. I said, how dare you? I worked all summer long for him. And I worked hard for him. And he only paid me $20. He goes, "My first attitude was, I'm going to steal that trailer. I'm going to get him paid some way or another. I'm going to steal some of his, tools. I'm going to take him, cash him in. I'm going to get paid one way or another. Because I didn't do it, but I was so mad." He goes, "I was so mad, so angry over that." He goes, "But now as a grown man, I look back, and I would never trade the experience that he taught me. For the first time, I was learning how to work hard, how to sweat. I learned how to operate a trailer in the ninth grade. I learned how to clear out trees and make them fall where I wanted to fall. I learned how to split wood and stack it up and to drag them up there. I learned how to take care and maintain a chainsaw and oil it up." He goes, "Man, that man taught me a lot of hard values, and I'm using it even today. It taught me a work ethic, and I pushed through when I didn't want to do it." And he goes, "I wouldn't trade it for nothing now, because it taught me a value that I needed so much in my life that I didn't get from any other man in my life. That man taught me that summer." He goes, "Now looking back on it, I'm so thankful for that experience, and I wouldn't trade it for nothing. It taught me so much." You know, many times when we're going through these things in our life that we don't understand, it's hard to be thankful in them, isn't it? But God is saying this, that we'll learn to be thankful before Christmas. We're always thankful during Christmas. We're thankful for the gifts that he gives us. But I want to be thankful on this side, that God, I'm thankful that no matter what, I'm thankful that you're coming. I'm thankful that God, you're in control of my life. Even when I go through something I don't understand, God, I'm thankful that when I get through this, that God, I'm going to be more mature. God, I'm thankful that when I go through this, that God, I'm going to be stronger in my Christian faith. I'm thankful, God, when I get through this, my finances are going to be more organized. God, I'm thankful when I get through this, God, I'm going to have a better diet, and I'm going to learn to take care of myself better. God, I'm thankful when I get through this, God, my marriage is going to be stronger. God, I'm thankful when I get through this, I'm going to learn to appreciate the small things in my life. God, I'm thankful ahead of the time. It's the place that God wants to be. It's the heart of thanksgiving that what? Unleashes the power of God to come alive in our life this Christmas. And we learn to put Thanksgiving first before Christmas. Let's bow our heads. Today, As we're learning to give God praise even when we don't feel like it. We're learning to be thankful even when we don't feel like it or see it. Many people around this room today, I don't want to assume that you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor, I don't even be thankful. I don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And today, I'm ready. Maybe you've been here for a long time. Maybe this is your first Sunday. It doesn't make a difference today. We never like to close out a service without giving you a chance to accept Jesus Christ into your life. Make him your personal Savior. If you want to learn what it means to walk in an attitude of thankfulness, and you're talking about how can you do that? You can't do it on your own. I guarantee you. It'll never happen. But it's something as a Christian that God empowers us to do as we turn to him and put our faith in him. That we can learn to live this kind of life as thankful. And today, with every head bowed, no one looking but me, I'm going to ask you, if you're here today, say, Pastor, I want to ask Jesus Christ into my life. I want to ask him to be Lord of my life. I want to make things right now during this Christmas season. I want to learn to put things first. I want Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I would not embarrass you in any way. But can you raise your hand if that's you today and say, Pastor, it's me. I want to accept Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else today, say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus. Raise it high where I can see it. Anybody else today want to join? Say, I don't want to leave here unless I know that heaven's my home. I want to leave here with that kind of power in my life. A relationship with Jesus that changes me. Anybody else today? He says to me, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. Before we pray for about anything else today, we had those who raised their hands. So I want you just to all repeat after me. Can we say this prayer together? Say, Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Messiah. I accept you into my life. Forgive me my sins and be Lord of my life. I will live for you the rest of my days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Let's give them a hand clap. Yeah. Before you leave today, make sure you stop by in the back. We got a free Bible and some other material to give you that tells you what to do next. But today, how many know that it's not easy to be thankful ahead of time, is it? Let's be honest, I have a hard time with that. I struggle with that quite a bit. It's something I have to constantly learn to do. It's not easy to be thankful ahead of time. But if we'll learn to walk in the season of thanksgiving all the time, before we have to be thankful. God, I'm thanking you before. Before we have anything to be thankful of, when things look the darkest, say, God, I'm thankful. It will change your relationship with God, and it unlocks heaven in your life. It unlocks what God wants to do in your life today. So today, I want to invite you to stand with me. How many today say, Pastor, today I want to learn to walk in a new season of thankfulness in my life? Bet you, can you raise your hand? That's me. I'm ready to learn to walk in a new season of thankfulness. Man, we got so much to be thankful for, don't we? I mean, we hear the news talking about how doom and gloom it is. Look around. We ain't suffering. Really. Is it really that? Yeah, the people who've had it tight. People who've had to. I know some things have been tight and it's not always been easy. But really, truly, we really are blessed people. We're a blessed nation. We are. We are blessed. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. Don't take one day for granted. Don't take one moment for granted today. Love those you can love that are here. Love those who need some love that aren't here. Learn to be thankful for what God's given you. Learn to be thankful for what God's bringing you through. Learn to be thankful for what he's going to do. Thanksgiving always comes before Christmas. Let's pray together. Let's raise our hands together. Can we do that? Father, right now, we lift our hands up to you as a sign of surrender. God, it's a sign of surrender. It's why we lift our hands up to you, because it's an act of saying, God, we surrender our heart to you, our life to you. So God, with every hand raised today, we say thank you. Come on, in your own way, I want you just to clear out and say thank you, God. I thank you, God, for what you've done in my life. I thank you, God, for what you brought me through. God, I'm thankful that even though things don't look great right now, I'm thankful, God, if I put my trust in you, it can get better. I'm thankful, God, it will be better. And God, I'm thankful to God that even though things don't always look real good right now, that God, I know that I put my trust in the Lord, that all things are going to work together for good. And God, I know today that you can help me smile again, and you can help me believe again, and you can help me have joy return to my heart, even in my sadness. And God, today, I am thankful, God, for so much. But God, we are thankful so much, but mostly for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to us. And Lord, we pray today that we can learn to walk in a spirit of humility now. We can learn to walk in a spirit of giving now. We can learn to walk in a spirit, Lord, of giving you praise first, giving you thanks first. And God, I pray that every one of us today would walk this season with a thankful heart, with a thankful heart. Before we have anything to be thankful for, God, we are just thanking you in advance for what you're going to do. Believing you, God, that you are our big God, control of our life. And so right now, with our hands raised, we thank you, God, giving you praise, thanking you, Lord, for your blessings on our life. God, we're thankful, God, for the things we thought we needed but we didn't get. We're thankful, God, for the places you brought us out of. We're thankful, God, that things are better this month than they were last month. We're thankful, God, that things are better this year than they were last year. We're thankful, God, even now that, God, 3 months from now, they're going to be even better than they are today. And God, we give you praise and we thank you in advance. And God, we bless your name together. We say together, amen. Amen. God bless you today. Turn around, shake a hand, hug a neck, whatever you want to do today. And we say thank you for being here. God bless you.